And I am thankful for that website. There's no little works of God. Some are bigger than others.
Right.
But there's no little works. And our little church here gets bigger when we put these messages on the internet. I thank God for the messages. I'm just a messenger boy, like I said. But these messages can go further than here by putting it on the internet. We're able to lengthen our tent stakes.
Right.
We're able to take in more ground.
That's right.
And we're supposed to abound as well as abase. Sometimes we're just holding ground. We're just standing ground. But other times we're abounding and we're gaining ground. And this is one of the ways that we can gain ground. Our message, our text will be in Romans chapter 7. And I am looking forward to preaching this message today. I'm just as needy as we all will be to this message. Now, I wanted to read a lot of scripture, but I've got a lot of territory to cover. And so for sake of time, I'm kind of like Mays Jackson. He said, "Oh, my preaching's like good baloney." He said, "You can cut off either end, it's still good." So I'm going to cut both ends off of it. We're just going to deliver the middle.
Amen.
But we're going to start Romans chapter 7, verse 7. And then we're going to read out all the way to the end of this chapter. And the reason I'm starting in verse 7 is because Paul's addressing what I'm wanting to preach about. Mm-hmm. And he says, "What shall we say then?" I'm in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. "Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Now, people, I know we're in the age of grace. I know we're saved by grace. But the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to God.
Amen.
And Paul here, he's saying, I had even known sin, but by the law. And that law is so important because it puts the finger on the problem.
Right.
That's right.
I can't see my problems. Karen was talking about she was having trouble seeing. Well, Karen, you're not the only one. We all have trouble seeing. But God helps us.
Right.
And thanks to the law, I can see my problem. It puts the finger on it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's kind of like looking in a mirror. And looking in that mirror, Jerry, I can see what the problem is. I mean, I got a big cut on my head here, and I can take that mirror and I can see how bad it is. I can see what I need to do to stop it bleeding, get it patched up a little there. You know what I mean? Well, I don't want to preach on that one verse. I want to get down because my text verse is actually in verse 21. That's my text verse. So let's get to it. He said, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, it's important, that it might appear sin." That's one thing about the law. Is the law doesn't leave it up to question about what's sin and what's not sin. It's amazing God gave 10 commandments, and those 10 commandments cover everything pertaining to sin. It's amazing that God could just take 10 commandments and cover every aspect of sin.
Amen.
I like what Paul said. He said, "I had not known sin, but by the law thou shalt not covet." Covet covers it all.
Right.
And anyway, he said, "But sin, that it might appear sin." Men want to try to get around sin. They want to try to be in denial concerning sin, but the law won't allow that. And working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly simple. The more apparent the problem, the more apt you are to seek help.
Right.
And he said, thanks to the commandment, he said, my sins become exceedingly simple. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Now this is a really good analogy right here, and we'll all have to say amen here in just a minute. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not.
Right.
Or that do I not. But what I hate, that I do.
Mm-hmm.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good.
Amen.
Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
Now Paul gets a little bit more honest and a little bit more personal here. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now you can pamper, paint, prep, perm, it don't make no difference. There's still nothing good in this flesh.
That's right.
I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, and just let these kind of sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I do that which... Oh, wait a minute. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Right.
Now, here's our text verse right here.
Right. Amen.
Now, you let this verse just really, just hold on to it. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's our text verse.
That's right.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here's our praise here. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now some of this is kind of hard to decipher, but we're going to take the simplest verse in here, verse 21. And I want to preach today on the battle between good and evil. And it won't none of us be able to escape the truth of this message, and we've been dealing with this for a long time. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the honor to be counted faithful, to be put in the ministry, to be able to preach your word, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, to preach your word, Lord, to feed your sheep, to feed your lambs. Lord, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask, Father, your help, Lord, right now. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'll preach to me, preach through me. I pray you'll get all the praise, all the glory. May you give us ears to hear. May you give us a heart to understand. May you give us eyes to see, Lord, the truth of this message, that we might be doers, not hearers only. And for all these favors, your blessed will be done. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The battle between good and evil. We've all been in this dilemma of wanting to do good, trying to do good, but not understanding how we get defeated in that purpose. We got to understand the enemies of doing good, and we got to understand the adversary that prevents us from doing good, before we'll ever be able to do the things everybody wants to do good. I don't know about y'all.
Amen.
But I don't really like sin, and even though I do sin, I don't like it.
No.
And when I do,
right.
I'm sorry that I did it, and we're going to preach more about that in a minute. I've got it's a terrible message. But it's a needed message.
Right. Yeah.
It's really needed. It really is.
Bring it on.
I mean, it's what's plaguing our our country. It's what's plaguing our people. It's what's plaguing our churches.
Right. Right.
Amen.
You and me, we all have to deal with this battle.
Yes, we do.
Between good and evil.
Amen.
I want to do good. I mean, Jesus worried about doing good. He had the praise of God. He had the praise of men. That's what I want.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it's what
Amen.
I want.
Right.
It's something that we need to strive to do.
That's right.
Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, that ought to be automatic.
Right.
And the next verse
right.
tells us what the problem is. Be not conformed to this world, and we do. We get the pattern out, and we cut it out, and we sew it up, and we put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed. And here's how you do it. By the renewing of your mind. Our Sunday service this morning was about Israel forgetting all the benefits that God had done for them.
Right.
And we're just like them. We forget. We do. We forget all the things God's done for us.
Amen.
Ed was commenting about the story I shared about a young boy that lived on the streets. He was an orphan boy. And a very wealthy couple seen the young boy and inquired about him and found out that he didn't have no one. He lived in a box on the streets. And they had compassion upon this little boy. And they went and found out that they could adopt him. And they went to this young boy, Joanne, and they said, would you like to come home and live with us? And he thought, oh my God, they're inviting me to get out of the box and get in a warm house. And he said, yes, I would love to. And this little young boy, I guess, thought it was a dream, Carrie. He went home with this man and his wife, a real nice house. And man, they got him a bath, got him cleaned up, got him some real nice clothes. And Rita brought him down and asked him if he was hungry. He said, yes, I am. And boy, they set a big meal out there. He never seen so much food in all his life. And he sat there and eat what he wanted, eat as much as he wanted. Man, he'd never seen it like that before. And he got done. He said, can I please be excused? And they said, sure, son. And they wondered why he kept asking that, Jerry. Every time he'd sit down and eat with him, he said, can I please be excused? And, you know, they finally got the best of him. They thought, what's going on here? He always asked real politely, can I please be excused? He said, Mama and Dad, can I please be excused? And they done like most parents trying to figure out what's going on, Sharon. They decided they'd inquire and figure out what's going on. So they kind of snuck up there to his bedroom and cracked the door open. That young boy, Joanne, he reached up underneath that bed there and he pulled out this little brown sack. And he took his real nice clothes off Carolyn. And he real neatly laid them there on the bed. He reached in that old crumbled up brown sack, got them old tattered, dirty clothes out and he put them on. And he went over there and stood in front of the mirror and just started weeping. They couldn't take them all. They run in and sucked him up, kissed on him, said, what's going on, son? He said, I just don't never want to forget what y'all done for me. I just don't never want to forget what you done for me. That's how we need to be about
right.
God.
That's right.
We don't never need
That's
to
right.
forget what he done for
Amen.
Us.
Right.
He
right.
took us an effort to remember that.
Yeah.
The goodness
right.
of God ought to lead us to repentance. But
Amen.
Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed
yes.
by the renewing of
Amen.
Your mind
right.
that you may prove what is that good
right.
and perfect
Amen.
Will of God.
Amen.
Oh, we need to remind ourselves continually
Amen.
Who we
right.
was,
yeah.
where we was,
yeah.
who we are now, and how we got there.
Right.
Thank,
right.
Thanks be to God
Amen.
To give us
Amen.
That victory. Amen. But this battle between good and evil, it's going on right now. It's going on right here.
Yeah.
Right now, the devil's trying to interrupt your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible said, if you be reasonable with Christ, seek those things which are above, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ said, the right hand of God. I mean, our mind ought to be stayed upon God.
Yeah.
And the devil
Amen.
Wants to somehow interrupt that action or that need and get us our mind on other things. I have said in church before, Rita, even though I was there in body, my mind was a million miles
from
Yeah. I've had the devil sit down right beside me. And I couldn't believe it. I got in the flesh a little bit. And I had me a little pity party. You know how that is.
Yeah. Amen.
And the devil, he was amening. He was. You're right, Mitchell. And he said, if I was you, I'd just leave. That'll show him. And I don't know how in the world I got in that predicament. I said, that's right. I'll just leave. That'll show him. I'll have me a pity party. And finally, I come to myself. And I thought, who am I having a pity party? God has been so good to me. I mean, buddy, he deserved me not to be a burden, but to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But I have experienced the devil sitting there right beside me while the man of God's up there preaching, and he's trying to keep me from getting the Word of God. He's trying to get my thoughts on other things instead of settle upon the things that I need the most, which is the Word of God. In this day and time, I'm telling you, buddy, we need preaching, amen?
Yeah.
But this battle between good and evil has been going on for a long time. It started in all places. In heaven. Mm-hmm. That's where the battle started.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Can you believe that? A place as perfect as heaven, Brother Mitchell? That's where the first problem started.
Yeah.
There's a rebel up there.
Right. Amen.
We're all rebels at heart. But this was the rebel of rebels. His name was Satan.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, I don't know how in the world he was even led in this direction, but he tried to exalt himself instead of God. He tried to assert authority upon himself instead of surrendering to the authority of love. Now, don't get me wrong, the devil's mighty, Joanne, but he's not almighty. And Jesus said he beheld Satan like lightning fall down to this earth. And I got a feeling when the smoke cleared, as he run plumb out of his shoes.
Yeah.
Like the roadrunner on the roadrunner coyote there. I believe as he ran down there and looked over his shoulder, I believe he realized he made a mistake. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Amen. It started in heaven, Brother Mitchell. And it didn't just concern Satan, which his name was Lucifer, which was the anointed cherubim. And you can read about his downfall in Isaiah chapter 14 about his problem with pride.
Yeah.
And you can read about how beautiful he was in Ezekiel chapter 28. But listen, it didn't just pertain to him. He drew one third of the angels of God, and they fell, and they lost their estate, they lost their home, they fell with him, they came down in the fall, and they were bound with everlasting chains.
Yes.
And the Bible says they're in hell today, reserved unto judgment.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, this battle between good and evil has been going on for a long time.
That's right. Yeah.
You think by now we'd understand a little bit about this war we're in. And Paul talks about this law, and he says, when I would do good, he said, evil is present with me. Now that's pretty much the problem right there. Every one of us want to do right. But this battle, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, it started in heaven. But it will end one day upon this earth at a place called Armageddon. That name means the mountain of slaughter. Now that same devil that stirred and deceived one third of the angels of heaven and they fell is somehow, Steve, going to deceive the world, and they're going to be stupid enough to gather with him at the Battle of Armageddon, and there's not going to be one single survivor.
Amen.
The blood's going to run to the horse's bridle for, I forgot, 7 or so miles.
Yeah.
Blood's going to be shed because of this battle, of this deceiver, of this rebel against all good that somehow or another is able to prevail through the mind of civil people, and they'll do, they don't like to retain God their knowledge anyway, but they'll do anything but God's way.
Yeah,
that's right.
This battle of Armageddon is where it's going to end at. Now, the rebel of all rebels will be defeated and destroyed. He'll be defeated. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. He'll be destroyed. Revelation chapter 20, 7 through 10. Now this devil, man oh man, I wish there wasn't no such thing. And thanks be to God, one day we're going to get to have a home where there's no devil.
Yeah.
I watched that movie.
Amen.
Yeah, I watched that movie about that black lady. Trying to remember the name of it. She went in that prayer closet and prayed. That black lady was telling her, "Honey, you're cold. I'm warm. I'm hot." But anyway, she went in that prayer closet battling the devil in there, battling with her own self in there. But she come out there mad, Sharon, and she stuck her head out that door and she said, "Devil, you get out of here and you stay out of here." Prayer.
Right.
War room. That's the name of it, War Room. I finally got it off the tip of my tongue. That movie, War Room. You know, she come out of there, and buddy, she come out of there with some victory.
Yeah,
oh, would to God
right.
that we do like she did, have a holy house cleaning, and say, "Devil, you get out of here, and you stay out of here. You're not welcome here. We don't want you here. We're going to worship the Lord and Him only here." I mean, buddy, that's a good example right there in a movie. Is that movie War Room? Yeah. But from the fall of the first man, Adam, unto those that even fall today, this battle continues. And the casualties are growing to a number as great as the sand of the sea.
Yeah, that's right.
By one man, sin entered into our paradise that we call earth.
Right.
Romans 5:12. And boy, did it leave a mark.
Yes, it did.
You drive by the cemeteries, and you tell me about it.
That's right.
By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And since that one mistake, Adam wasn't deceived, but he was in the transgression.
Right.
Now listen, God told him, "Don't eat, dare you eat that tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die." And even though he wasn't deceived, Brother Mitchell, it still pertained to him. You see, there's this law, there's no way around it.
That's right.
This law right here was given by God to man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get on that here in just a minute right now. But anyway, they only had one law, Brother Ed.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all they had.
Yeah.
And the devil attacked them through that one law, and he changed one word, Rita. All he said, well, God said, "You shall surely die." And all that lying serpent, which was Satan incarnate, all he said to them was, "Thou shalt not surely die." And you know, the teenagers, they'll say something, they'll say "not." It makes me think about that a lot when the devil changed that one word. "Thou shalt not surely die." Well, the devil said, "Thou shalt not surely die," Joanne. God said, "Thou shalt surely die."
Yes.
Well, we found out God was true.
Amen.
And the devil was a liar and a father of it. Adam, he wasn't deceived, but yet he failed by the transgression. And because of that downfall, he lost his home. And he died.
Yeah.
Now, this battle between good and evil, not only is it going today, not only the casualties great, but they're going to continue until the Lord finally comes down here, sets his foot down, says it's enough, we're done with this.
That's
but I'm going to tell you right now, the cemeteries tell the tale today that we bury our dead just like everyone else. And you know the number? Even today it goes and grows. This battle with sin, the Bible said sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. James chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible said Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. I won't deny that there's pleasure in sin. I do want to declare that it's a short time to enjoy it.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Moses made the right choice, Mitchell.
Yes, he did.
He might have had to suffer reproach.
Right.
But he esteemed the riches of Christ.
Right.
Prayer riches and those of faith, right?
Amen.
Woo! I may not look rich to y'all, but I want you to know one day I'll have my Christ.
Amen.
Woo!
Oh,
What day I have my crown, Rita?
That's right.
I don't know what they're calling up there. It might be Sir Eddie. I don't know. I just know one thing. I'm here for a crown, Bill Carroll. But he's going to put one on. He's going to say, blessed, you've been found faithful. Paul said there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord himself shall give me shine. He said, not me only, but all of those that love him. And Luke is appearing. We're going to wear a crown of him. Adam fell because of sin. You know what that caused Adam to do?
Yeah.
Caused him to hide from God.
Right.
Instead of walking with God, now he's hiding from God.
Uh-huh.
But notice, God came seeking Adam. Mm-hmm. You know, we might struggle. You might think that'll never happen to me. But let me say this, if it does, I'm glad he'll come seeking in. He said, where are you?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He said, what's going on? He said, well, I fell a little and got to it. It's all right. I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I'm glad we got a seeking Savior. I'm glad he come seeking Adam among the garden and among the trees. And he called out, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, I'm here. I'm in sin. I'm here. And God didn't just seek him out. Praise God, God washed him, cleansed him, forgave him, and made him a covering for his sin. Put some coats on him, amen, and we got a covering in Christ, glory to God.
Amen.
But sin will cause you to hide from God.
That's right.
And sin will cause you to hear what Adam heard.
Amen.
Where art thou? Boy, a lot of people today, they don't want you to know it. Phyllis, they've been hearing that.
Right.
Where art thou?
Yeah, amen.
I don't mean this in a mean way. I mean this in a loving way, but a lot of people could be here this morning. They're not here. Right. God notices that. He calls out, where art thou?
Yeah.
There now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another.
Yeah,
see, it encourages me when I see Karen here. She don't feel real good. And Joanne here, she don't feel good.
Yeah.
Sits up in a chair and just sings like a canary.
That's right.
Amen. See, we exhort one another.
Yeah.
He encourages me.
Yeah.
Lets me know, praise God, how much the Lord means to her.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Rita said she broke out in a sweat. I said, praise God. And I swear for the world's devil long enough. I swear for God willingly gladly.
Yeah, that's right.
But it says, not forsake assembling of ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, Brother Danny.
That's right.
So much the more.
That's right.
As we see that day approaching.
Yeah.
That's right.
We don't need to be less, we need to be more.
That's right.
We need to be on the more side.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, buddy, I'll tell you right now, I believe we could do more. And I appreciate what y'all do. Don't get me wrong, I'm a preacher. I ain't trying to step on nobody's toes. I'm just trying to deliver this message. But God's calling out to Adam. Adam's hiding. And God says, Adam, where art thou? Adam heard it. Adam said, I'm hid. God said, why are you hiding? He said, because I was naked. God said, who told you is naked? Yeah, have you eaten of that tree I told you not to eat of? And Adam started that blame game, that woman.
Yeah.
And that woman said, that serpent. But I want you to know, none of them had an excuse to prevent him from being judged.
Amen.
Now, I want to take just a little bit right here to leave this and go to the book of Job. The reason I want to go to the book of Job, here's an example for you, for me, to keep in mind, because what happened to Job is going to happen to you and me.
That's right.
It says in verse 1 about Job, and I'm going to just read parts of this for the sake of time. Said there was a man whose name was Job. That man was perfect.
Yes.
Upright. And one that feared God and skewed evil. Now we're going to drop down there to verse. Notice the accommodation of Job's walk. He's perfect. He skews evil, fears God.
Yeah.
Look down verse 5. Now Job's got 10 children. They're mentioned in between verse 1 and verse 5. And we won't leave them right now out. He said, "It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And look at this. "Thus did Job continually." Job's a perfect man. Job's a praying man.
Yeah, right.
And Job's a persistent man. He done it continually.
Right.
Now, all that's wonderful. But look at what happens here in verse number 8. The Lord here, Satan shows up, and the Lord says, verse 7, "The Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered, the Lord says, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, or is none like him in the earth?" That's a pretty good accommodation. When God says something like that about someone, I want you to know, buddy, that's the highest accommodation that anyone can get, where God says, there's none like it.
That's right.
He said he's a perfect man and an upright man. He's a man that fears God and eschews evil. And look at the devil here. Look at his answer. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught?" Now listen to this pitiful complaint. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about all his house and about all that he has?" And listen, thank God for the hedge.
Yeah.
I want the hedge up. Now you may not want to.
Right.
You may not want to. What's that they're trying to put up down there between Mexico and the United States?
Whoa.
Border wall. You may not want a border wall, but I do.
Right.
I want a door on my house, Mitchell.
Right.
I want it locked. I want
the gun loaded.
Amen. I want the dog loose.
Yeah.
I want you to know these are perilous times.
It ain't
like it used to be,
no.
Terry. Daddy used to sleep in the front yard on a chase lounge. You do that now, and you wake up with a knife stuck in your head.
Right.
It ain't like it used to be.
Right.
I'm telling you, these are perilous times.
Yeah.
Listen, this morning, Mitchell, a man went into a Waffle House and shot four people dead and shot others, and he didn't have a stitch of clothes on. That tells me something wrong with him.
That's right.
I'm telling you, these drugs is taking their toll, and people are dying.
Right.
I want the law.
Amen.
I want them to be arrested.
Amen.
I want to be put in prison,
and
we could have some degree of peace till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Friday,
amen.
That's right.
I don't know what in the world wrong with our thick-headed politicians, but I got a feeling they're in love with money.
Yeah.
And they want to somehow buy boats. I mean, boats, I guess, too. But anyway, let me get off of that. The devil's complaint is he can't get to Job. Can you imagine if our enemies had to complain, Brother Ed, that they couldn't get in to the peaceful people of America?
They
said they put that wall up. Not only did they put that wall up, but they're enforcing it.
Right.
We can't sneak in. We can't get the drugs in no more.
That's right.
Well, the devil's complaining like that, Brother Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "God, you put a hedge up."
Right.
I want the hedge.
Right.
Amen.
I do too.
Amen.
He said, "Take away that hedge. Let me show you what I can do." Now, God already knows that the devil's outmatched here, but he wants us to know, Carolyn. And the only way for us to know is for God to take a hedge down just so we'll notice what kind of man Job was.
Amen.
Now I know Joseph.
Right.
He's the man that God recommended for this task.
Amen.
And not only did he come through like we, more than conquerors through Christ, that said, "My Redeemer liveth, and I know the latter day he'll stand upon this earth. No worms consume my body, yet my flesh I'll see God." He said, "My record's on high." I'm telling you, buddy, my witness in heaven. We just got a lot to do with Job here, but Job here has a hedge of protection about him and his house and about all that he has on every side. And the devil says, you've blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased. He said, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. This is quite a challenge. Satan's complaint and Satan's challenge is, let me hit him.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what he said? He said he'll curse you to your face.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Kind of some people have failed this test.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
They blame God for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I lived in a home like that when I was young. Mm-hmm. God got the blame for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was GD this, GD that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, I thought that was normal. I didn't know there was any other way to be. It's all I ever heard growing up. God got the blame for everything, Steve.
That's right.
You know, if the devil has his way, that's where our homes will be.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
We'll curse God to God's
you're
face.
Right.
We'll say, God, if you was God, why did my daughter get killed in that car wreck?
Yeah.
April,
yeah.
I mean, May the 3rd of 1995. We'll start blaming God for the water heater going out. And Brother Ed showed me a simple resolve there. Got it fixed for under $30. I mean, golly. But if we're not careful, we'll be what the devil wants us to be. We'll start blaming God for everything that don't go our way. And the next thing you know, we'll be cursing God like Peter did there.
Yeah.
He denied the Lord the third time. They said, thy speech bewrayeth thee. And he just cursed God. And, you know, you might think it'll never happen to me. But you better be careful with that. But the devil said, he said, let me have him. I'll make him curse you to your face.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
I want to skip a bunch of verses. And here's the tale of Job's loss. He lost everything in a moment's time, including his sons and his daughters. Now here's the right reaction to the most devastating thing that could happen to anyone. Verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, amen, brother.
Amen.
And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 22. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now is the devil done? Of course not.
No.
He's coming back, and here he comes.
Amen.
And I mean, again, God's bragging on Job. And the devil says, hey, Lord, skin for skin. Yeah, all that a man has will he give for his life. He said, let me have one more time.
Yeah.
And God allows it one more time.
Yes, he does.
And he said, let me touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse me to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. You know the devil's mad. I mean, he done failed this test. I'm mad he bit about 2 inches off that forking tongue. Probably got a black eye, maybe a horn bent, I don't know. But anyway, then so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his, from the sole of his foot to his crown.
Yeah.
And Job here, taking the right action, a good saved man of God, took a pot sherd, scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. That's just a degree of humility. It's just the right reaction is just to accept. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what that means is, you know, Paul said, I find whatever state I'm in, there will be content. That don't mean Kentucky, Tennessee, or Illinois. It just means whatever comes your way.
Right, that's right.
Just know this, God knows all about it.
That's right.
He knows all about it.
Yes, he does.
Yes,
he
does.
Paul complained a little bit. He said, Lord, I just wish you'd take this thorn out of my side. He said, I believe I can serve you better. God said,
my grace is sufficient.
That's right.
He said, I'll gladly rather rejoice in my infirmities. Because he said, I found law when I'm weak and strong. He said, I found that the weaker I am, the stronger he is. The more I got to live for him, the more he helps me, amen. I mean, buddy, listen. He said, I'm glad to take joy in my infirmities. He said, I'm telling you, we got this thing all figured out. We don't need to be strong. We need to be meek and lowly and dependent upon God for our every need. Old Job here, he just accepts it. He just scrapes himself with a piece of broken pottery and sits down among the ashes trying to figure out what really needs to do.
Yeah.
And then his wife comes.
Amen.
And here she is. I'm going to say she's motivated by the devil.
Yeah.
Doest thou still retain thine integrity? And notice her advice. Curse God and die. The devil's done tried twice to get him to curse.
Uh-huh.
And here's the third lick. And he answers her and he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil in all of this? Did not Job sin with his lips? I'll get off of Job there. But that's a good example.
Yes, it is. Right.
We've got an adversary in this battle between good and evil. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't want him to devour me. I want to hedge up. Like I said, I want every mode of defense that we can have against this battle. Against this devil, we not only got an adversary in this battle, but we've got admonition in this battle.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, we're more than conquerors through Christ, Romans 8:37. But here we've got admonition in this battle to flee. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, flee all appearance of evil. To fight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, I fought a good fight. You're going to have to fight.
Right.
There ain't no discharge.
Right.
Put on the whole armor of God and war, good warfare. Not only flee, appearance of evil, not only fight in this battle, but forget not that we've got help in this battle.
Yeah.
Follow the footsteps of our Savior. Let Him lead. Let Him guide. Every crime against humanity is a product of this battle between good and evil. You notice God warned Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And He said, if thou doest not well, or if thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted?
Mm-hmm.
But if not, He said, sin.
Right.
It lies at the door, Brother Jerry.
Yeah.
He says, open up. Let me in. We don't need to open the door and say, knock.
No.
Lock it.
Right.
Deadbolt it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Put a bullet in the chamber.
Right.
We ain't whole.
That's right. Amen.
Fire a couple water shots
through
the door.
That's right.
Everybody right where the head is, you know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, He said, God told Cain, if you do well, He said, you'll be accepted. See that battle?
Amen.
But He said, if not, sin lies at the door. When I was a young man, Brother Mitchell, I remember an angel on this shoulder and a devil on this.
Right.
That angel say, don't do it.
Yeah.
That devil on this side, he say, do it.
Yeah.
I dare you. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Right.
Sure enough, I call for it every time.
Yeah.
I do it, Brother Ed. And he say, the same devil that compelled me to do something, then he condemned me for doing it. Look what you done.
Yeah.
I can't believe you.
Right.
You know, the devil, he's behind all these shootings and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
And have you noticed that when the devil can somehow compel someone to kill someone, then he compels them to take their life?
Yeah.
Why should I just kill myself?
Right.
I mean, I can't believe you done what you done. I mean, it's amazing how the devil works. But anyway, this battle, it goes on. It's going on right now. Somebody's making a decision right now against this battle between good and evil. This battle between good and evil affects our youth. That's why we have so much bullying in our schools.
That's right.
That's why there's so much blood being shed in the halls of our schools.
Yeah.
Now let me give a good example of that. They teach little Muslim children to hate Jews, to hate Christians, and to kill them.
Right.
I mean, they're teaching kindergarten children the Jew is your enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
The Christians are your enemy. And 10-year-old boys now, Karen, are shooting grown men.
Yeah.
Because they say, we want you to fulfill your role. We want you to be a man. We want you to learn how to kill one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting Jews and they're shooting Christians. Anybody that's not a Muslim.
That's
right. Now listen, as bad as that is, Brother Mitchell,
right,
we're no better.
Right.
No, that's right.
We allowed this to be taken out.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way it should go. Mm-hmm. And one woman, Madam O'Hara, one woman.
Yeah.
That's right.
Somehow was able to prevail, and she got prayer, the Bible, Ten Commandments out. And it's affecting our youth.
You're right.
Now look here.
Amen.
I ain't bring my glass. Look here. Carolyn, thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What's wrong with that? I mean, that'd be a deterrent on the school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Right.
Thou shalt not covet. And what's wrong with this? Honor thy father and thy mother. First thing that boy done in the, not the Columbine, but I can't think of the name of that school shooting. First thing he done was shot his mother, Rita.
That's right.
With her gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the school.
Yeah.
And he shot his mother first, and then he went to school and just shot people one after another.
That's right.
And that's this battle. You see, that wasn't the right thing to do. He knew it wasn't right, but someone convinced him to do it, and I know who it was.
Yeah.
But this battle, it affects our youth. And like I said, not only do Muslims corrupt the minds of their children, but we're no better. We're not allowing our children to be exposed to the truths of, you know, forgive one another, love one another, and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Hello, America. The crop's coming up. It's terrible. It's taking its toll. The graveyards are being filled up with fresh graves. Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
I got a little bit of good news. The day's coming.
It is.
When they'll learn war no more.
Yeah, that's right.
Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4.
That's right. Amen.
Says they'll beat their their swords in the pruning hooks, and their spears, when they beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks, they'll learn war no more. They won't sit there and mastermind these plans of how I'm going to slip in.
Amen.
And this cowardly guard outside sitting out there listening to these bullets going off and somehow claims to be innocent of these people, these young 17 killed in Florida. Right. Somehow this spineless sheriff, deputy sheriff, sat outside and listened to the screams and the shooting.
Yeah.
I ain't got no time for that.
No.
Man, oh man. And the sheriff says he's innocent too. They're fixing it. They're fixing to crucify him, and they need to.
Well, we need the right people.
The Bible said, "When the righteous and the fall dead people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." Now listen, we're not going to learn war no more, and I'm glad for that.
Right.
Because we're in war right now.
You're right.
And there ain't no discharge from it.
No, it ain't.
You're right.
It's never going to go away.
No.
What we've got to do is like Paul's told Timothy: war a good warfare.
That's right.
We've got to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against what? Against the wiles of the devil.
Right.
See, that old devil wants to lie. He's cunning, crafty. Man, he's coming. And his whole goal is to somehow corrupt your mind and somehow convince you that you're right and everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Right.
How in the world can I be right and all y'all be wrong? That's the way the mind of Satan works.
Yeah.
He's never to blame. I mean, you see it in the Adam and Eve thing here. I mean, that woman, that serpent.
Right.
But anyway, we need to put that armor on. But until that day comes, put the armor on. War, good warfare, because this battle between good and evil, it exists even today.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's going on right now. Turn the news on. You know what you'll see on there? Reader, you'll see where someone succumbed to evil.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like to see good news. I like to see where somebody said, it's my cup of tea right here, Joel. 17-year-old girl, she found out that they put in the school book curriculum that President Trump was a lunatic, and all of them conservatives is what's caused all the problems
that's
in our country.
Exactly.
Hey, she come out and blew the whistle on that. They had her on Fox News, and I said, woohoo, that's my kind of girl.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's going to end up. That's what's going on. See, they're slipping this stuff in.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about evil men creeping in unaware, and they're bringing this damnable doctrine, these curses of this. This teaching to the minds of our children, trying
that's
to
right.
corrupt their minds, trying to get them to do unthinkable things.
Yeah, right.
And Christ is what they need. That's what they need.
That's right.
They need to be taught to love one another,
right.
forgive one another, to help one another,
that's right.
do unto others as we have them doing to us.
Yes.
But oh my, this terrible battle's going on right now. You go home, Dad, and you turn the news on, it'll be discouraging, but also it's encouraging. Because no, it ain't gonna be long, I'm gonna get out of here. I mean, this ain't gonna go away, Carol.
That's right.
It's gonna get worse and worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The worse it gets, the better it looks.
Right.
I mean, brother, we might be victims of prophecy, but I've been reading in the story, we're gonna win it.
Amen.
We're gonna leave out with a shout
right.
and hallelujah.
Amen.
So shall we ever be with the Lord, and we ain't gonna have to put up this battle no more,
Amen.
And we ain't gonna put up this devil no more, and we're gonna enjoy the joys of the Lord. Forever and ever. And Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you, fellas.
Amen.
I'm glad I got a sure word.
That's Woo. Right. Amen.
One thing is impossible for God to do, and I know I done told y'all this. It's impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
Oh, well, he might make
that's
a mistake.
Right. Amen.
I might let a tongue word slip or something like that.
That's right.
But it's impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
Hebrews 6:18, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. I like that part about God. I used to teach Sunday school, Sister Karen. 10-year-olds. Boy, you talking about a challenge. Here I am down with the rock. One of them boys, he's the pastor of church over here on Highway 90, Little Bethel Baptist Church. His name's Brent Spillman. He's 10 years old. He raises his hand up, and I mean, my tail up. He started knocking. He said, Brother Eddie, I got a question. And I said, well, what is it, Brent? I'm scared to death. He said, how do we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven? I said, well, Brent, do you like it here? He said, yeah. I said, it's far better there. He took that with him. And I said, woo! Praise the Lord. Well, listen, it's far better there.
Yes, it is.
If we could just take a tour,
Amen.
We'd say, come quickly.
Right.
Get us out of this nightmare on Ham Street, this dilemma that we're having to endure.
Yes, Lord.
This battle
That's right.
between good and evil. Father, we thank you for the message. Thank you for the truths that have been told here today. Lord, I pray you help us to be wise as a serpent.
Yes.
I pray you help us be harmless as a dove. May we seek always to try to do good. Thank you for these people that have blessed me. I'm so humbled, Lord, to be here. I'm so thankful.
Yes.
I'm so thankful, Lord.
That's right.
Help us, Lord, I pray. We might finish that course. Lord, that we might be watching when you come. Lord, that we might be ready. Lord, when you show up, Lord, to make our exodus, to get out of this Pharaoh-dominated world. Lord, it beats all I've ever seen, how Israel kept failing and falling. But Lord, I pray you'll help us, Lord, I pray. May you lead in our thoughts and in our lives. May you lead in our decisions. And by your leadership, Lord, may we stay on that street called straight. May we make straight paths for our feet. May we be found faithful, not foolish. For all these things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, your blessed will be done. Amen.
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 Thank you for bearing with me. I'd like to get Brother Jerry, if you would please. You may not need to do nothing. And that's okay. I just need to give an invitation because Billy Sunday one time in Chicago, I got in the flesh a little bit and got mad. Preachers do get mad. I know enough of them. I know what I'm talking about. But he got mad, Joanne. And he didn't give no invitation. He got mad, just walked off the platform. That was the night that Chicago burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Billy, D.L. Moody.
D.L. Moody said, I'll never dismiss another service and not give an invitation. It was D.L. Moody. I want to do the same. There may be a need here, and there may not. It's okay. If there is one, God's able to meet the need.
Right.
And if there's not one, praise God, He done met the need. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother.